Good morning, everybody. Swedish. Thank you very much for inviting me back once again to speak. It's a very special day. It's the first day of Elul. As we know, the Sforim tell us that Elul is Rosh Hatevis, Ani L'doidi, V'doidi Mi. It's the time when we have the opportunity to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's very meaningful that the very first morning in Elul, and of course to share with you some ideas on the Parashas and the V'chizuk, which we see out of the Shemaya, are found in various Sforim. In the Kriyas HaTorah, which we learned on Monday, the first Aliyah of Parashas Shoftim, have very famous words. The Pasuk tells us that we should always follow what the Sanhedrin tell us, what the Rabbonim, the Gedolim tell us. And the Pasuk says in Kapitel Yud-Zayin, Pasuk Yud-Aleph, the Pasuk says, Al-Pi HaTorah Asher Yeruchot, V'alamishpot Asher Yemu Luchot, HaSeh, you should do it according to as they teach you, as they tell you. You shouldn't deviate, you shouldn't turn away from that which they tell you, yomin or smol, right or left. Famously, Rashi tells us, what does yomin or smol mean? Even if they tell us, al yomin shu smol, if Chachamim tell us that the right is the left, we should accept what the Chachamim say, even though it doesn't make sense to us, we can't understand it, but despite that, we should listen to what they're saying. The Ramban brings out this point very strongly. Why is this so important? And he says that even if you think that the Chachomim have made a mistake, they paskan the halacha, and you think that they're wrong, and it's poshut, it's so clear to you, like you know the difference between your right and your left, that it's as clear as that to you that they've made a mistake. Still, you should follow what they say. And you shouldn't say, how can I do this? How can I eat this chaylev? They say this is mutter, and I'm sure this is chaylev, etc. He says, no, person should say to himself, kach tziva oisi ha'odoi, ha'metzava ala mitzvahs, the same Hashem who told me to keep all the mitzvahs, they also instructed me, she'ese v'chol mitzvahsov, k'chol yashar yiruni ha'oindim lefonov, v'mokam ashi yivchol. The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me not to eat chaylev, for example, is the same Hashem who told me to listen to the Sanhedrin, do what the Chachamim tell us. If they're wrong, it's not my problem. My mitzvah now is to listen to the Chachamim, even if they make a mistake. And he illustrates this with a Mishnah which we may be familiar with, but it's worth expounding on a bit. It's a Mishnah at the end of the second Pirik of Rosh Hashanah. The second to last Mishnah has there a machlokes between Rabban Gamaliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua was the Av Beis Din at the time, and Rabban Gamliel was the Nasi. At the time, there was still Kiddush HaChodesh. They would accept Eidim to say that it's the new moon, the new HaChodesh, time to make Rosh Hashanah. And Rabban Gamliel was satisfied that the Eidim were providing accurate Eidos, and they could make it Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yeshua disagreed with him. Av Machlechus. The next Mishnah says, Rabban Gamliel sent a message to Rabbi Yeshua. Gozrani olecho, I decree on you. Shetovoy etzmi, you should come to me b'makelcho, with your stick, b'moisecho, with your money, b'yoyim ha'kippurim shecholies b'cheshboimcho. According to you, Yom Kippur is, just for argument's sake, it's Thursday. I say no, Thursday is already the day after Yom Kippur. You say it's Yom Kippur. I insist that you come to me on that day with your walking stick, with your money, to demonstrate you accept what I'm saying. Rabbi Yeshua was very upset. He held that Rabban Gamliel was wrong. He held that Rabban Gamliel made a mistake. He shouldn't have accepted the Eidim, and it should be Yom Kippur on the day that he holds it in Kippur. And he went to Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva gave him all the cheshbon why you have to listen to Rabban Gamliel, why he's right. And then he went to Rabbi Yosef ben Harkinas, and he also said to him, if you start questioning the basin of Rabban Gamliel, then you cast aspersions on every basin that's ever existed since the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, you have to accept. So what did he do? Rabbi Yeshua went, he took his stick, took his money, and he went to Yavne on to Rabbi Gamliel on Yom Kippur. According to him, was Yom Kippur. Rabbi Gamliel says, not Yom Kippur. He went to him, and Rabbi Gamliel got up and he said, ah, Rebbe v'talmidi. He kissed him, he said, you're my Rebbe and you're my Talmud. You're my Rebbe in that you're actually greater than me in Torah. You know better than me. And despite that, Talmidi, you're my Talmud because you accepted what I said. This is very fascinating and perhaps a bit difficult to understand. Why was Rabbi Gamliel so insistent that Rabbi Shua accepted his words? Is it not maybe Gaiva? He even agreed that Rabbi Yeshua was greater than him in Torah. So why was he putting his foot down? Why was he being so obstinate that Rabbi Shua has to accept his words? The answer to this lies in the next words of the Ramban. The Ramban says that the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us the Torah Shebichsav, and that doesn't change. But circumstances in the world change the whole time. We know it best now. More people listening to the Shir not here than who are here, for example. Yeah, circumstances change the whole time. So the Rabbeinu Shalom said, we can't have a situation where everybody makes up their own Torah. Everybody decides how to interpret the Psukim, how to apply the Torah to current situations. There has to be a unified approach, and that is to listen to the Chachomim. And therefore, if the Chachomim understand that the way to explain a Pasuk is in a certain way, then that's how we'll do it. If they're wrong, it doesn't matter. No concern to us. We have to have a unified approach, and that's the Rotzon Hashem. And that's why Rabbi Gamliel was so insistent. Rabbi Shua was the Av Beis Din. We can't have the Av Beis Din saying one halacha and the Nasi saying differently. The Nasi is the boss, and everyone has to follow him. It wasn't personal at all. And the Gamliel was the biggest honor that we see. He told Rabbi Shua himself, Rabbi, you're my Rabbi, you're greater than me in Chochma. But despite that, I have the position of Nasi, and it has to be that the Nasi, his word is final. That's the way it has to be. And the Ramban actually finishes off. He says, even if you think that they're mixing up right and left, as we said before. And then he says, he ends with beautiful words. He paraphrases the words in Pasuk Tehillim. Hashem gives a ruach of Kedusha onto those who serve in his Mikdosh, which in this context means the Sanhedrin. He does not forsake his chassidim, the ones who are close to him. They are always guarded from any mistake, from any stumbling block. In other words, the Rebbeinu Shlomo will ensure that what they say is right, even if it seems to you to be wrong. I once heard from my uncle a nice pshat in this. I saw it actually brought from the Meir Chodosh. Just to illustrate it with a personal experience, many times I've been to the optician for an eye test, for myself, for my children, and I noticed sometimes he wants to check your vision. So he says to me, look at my right ear. And I'm looking at him, this is not your right ear, this is your left ear. He says, look at my right ear. But he understands that you're facing the other direction, and to you, that's right. So even though this is his left ear, but he has to tell you, look at my right ear, so you shouldn't look at the wrong one. He needs you to look in the correct direction. Says Rav Meir Chodosh, the reason why we think something is right and something is left is because we're looking at things from a different perspective. The Chachomim have got the true perspective. They're looking at things from the right direction, from the right angle. So that's why they say this is right and this is left. Of course you don't understand it, because you're coming from a different angle. You don't understand it. We have to appreciate and realize that the Chachomim are the ones who have the correct look, the correct way of looking at things, and looking from the correct angle, and they are the ones who are able to have the Siyata Dishmaya to say the correct things in any given situation. We have a mitzvah just after Sheni. It's a whole aliyah, actually, from Sheni to Shlishi, the mitzvah of when Klal Yisroel come to Eretz Yisroel to appoint a king. There's a mitzvah, the Rambam brings it, a halacha, that we need to appoint a king. The pasuk says, V'omarto, simu alai melech, Klal Yisroel will demand a king, they want a king, k'chol ha'goyim asher sevi voisoi, like all the nations which surround me. And the Torah says, yes, soim to simu alecha melech, you should appoint a melech. The Torah goes into details who this melech should be and how the melech should behave. The Torah encourages it. This is the right way to go. Which leads us to question a parsha, a few psukim, quite a long parsha actually, in Sefer Shmuel, where Klal Yisroel came to Shmuel and he said to him, you know, you're getting old. Your children, unfortunately, are not going in your way. Chazal tell us, it's not what we would imagine, they're not that bad. They weren't on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Shmuel Hanavi. And therefore they said, Simo lanu melech, appoint for us a king, l'shofteinu k'chol hagoyim. It sounds very similar to what the Pasuk tells us in this week's parasha. Shmuel was really upset. He said, Hashem said to Shmuel, it's not you they have rejected. They're not, it's nothing personal against you. They've rejected me. And Hashem blotter he puts on them. What is going on? The Torah says that when we come to Eretz Yisrael, it's the right thing to do to ask for a king. We should appoint a king. The whole psukim here to tell us that we should appoint a king. And here, the British was so upset with them, Shmuel Hanavi tells them off afterwards. How do we reconcile these two things? Is it right or is it wrong? What's going on? Says the Kliyoko. He says, Avada, the Rotzen Hashem was that there should be a king. For sure, there should be a king. But there's nuances in the wording which make all the difference. The Pasuk here in Parsha Shoftim, just after Sheni, the first Pasuk, he says, V'omato osimo olai melech. I would like to appoint a king over me. That means the king tells me what to do and I'll follow him. Like all the nations which are around me, meaning all the nations who behave in a normal, civilized, correct manner, that they listen to the king, they obey him. The job of the king isn't to be a judge. That's left for the Dayanim. They can pass in the shyness, discussions and disputes between people. That's nothing to do with the Melech. He's just to be the authority figure who we follow. And that's the purpose. Osim olai melech, sheyeh moiro'oi olai. I should fear him. And the Torah says, yes, that's good. Soim, osim olech o melech. That's correct. You should appoint a king above you. But in the words of the Klal Yisrael at the time, they didn't say that. They said, Sima lonu melech. Appoint for us a melech. Meaning that I am the boss and I'll tell him what to do. And it's fascinating. The Kliyoka writes this however many hundreds of years ago. And he says, Uchaminak arotzois elu. Shemekablim ezerav. They appoint a rabbi, Rav, Alzman Yodua, only for a fixed term, k'day shelo yihei a mosoi aleihem, so that they shouldn't have to fear him. V'ader rabba, a mosom al harav, he's scared he's going to be fired any day. So he doesn't really carry a position of authority. He's answerable to the governors, to the boss. He's not really the leader. And that's what the shofteinu k'chol ha'goyim, what does mishpot mean? Mishpot means monetary matters or things like that. Yeah. They'll be able to manipulate him. They'll say, listen, if you don't make sure that I win this case, then you're out of a job. He's just a puppet. He's not really in charge. And that's why Kalatul Benjamin was upset with Klal Yisrael at the time. Because they were asking for the Melech for the wrong reasons and the wrong type of Melech. And that's they was and the Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Shmuel, they haven't rejected you. The reason they're not happy, they couldn't have done this with you because they know that you would go for this. But now that you're getting old, they're saying, let's find somebody else who we can manipulate. And they don't want to listen to Hashem.
You only did 250 together.
Okay. So the Apostle HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Shmuel, Ki ho'e to'e bohim, you should warn them that this is not going to happen, it's not going to turn out the way you want it to happen. And the Pesukim tell us that Shmuel said to them, Es b'nechem yikov, this king who you wanted it to be long, that you should be in charge. Oh no, this is not going to happen. You'll have your king, but it's going to be in my turn, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's going to take your children to serve him, and he's going to ride his chariots and to be soldiers in the army. He'll take your daughters as cooks and bakers, and he'll take your crops and your vineyards, and goes through the whole, everything will be requisitioned for the king. Because you've made a terrible mistake to ask for a king, Lonu, to serve us. You should have asked Olenu. You'll be crying out to Hashem, you'll be so upset that you had this king, because this isn't what you were looking for, this isn't what you asked for. So, weil der Apostel says in Kapitel Shmuel Aleph Ches Yotes, weil Moanu Ha'om Lishmoya Bekol Shmuel. They refused to listen to Shmuel, what he was saying. Weil Imru Loi, they said, no, Ki Emelech Yeh Oleinu. They accepted the message. They learned, they accepted the Techoch, which HaKadosh Baruch was giving them, which Shmuel was giving them in the name of Hashem. We realize our mistake, and they accepted, no, the Melech has to be Oleinu. So then there's no stira. The Apostle is telling us what a Melech should be. It should be Oleinu, on us. He's telling us, directing us, guiding us, and we listen to him. And Klal Yisrael learned this message, and they did tshuva for this bad request which they made. Sukkim, just after Shlishi, tell us, Lo yiyeh l'koyanim alaviyim kol shevet Levi, chelek v'nachlo im Yisroel. Shevet Levi, the koyanim, they don't get a portion in Eretz Yisroel. What do they get? Ishei Hashem v'nachloso yechelum. They get the korbonos, they get trumos of maestros, each one. And the pasuk says, continues by saying they get somebody shechts an animal for his own personal use, parts have to be given to the Kohen, they get Truma, Rishis Hagez, and then the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Hei, Kapitel Yud Ches, Pasuk Hei, the Pasuk says, what's the reason for this? Kivoi bochar Hashem Elikecho, because Hashem has chosen him, Mikol Shavotecho, Lamoid L'shoris Lifnei, B'Shem Hashem, Hu Vano Kol Hayomim. He's been chosen to serve, and that's why he gets all his matonis. So how does this serve as a reason? Because he's been chosen as the lamb with the shori serving in the Beis HaMikdash, why is that a reason for him to, for the Kohenim to get all these matonim? Says this form. It's fitting for you to provide the Kohen and the Levi with bread and his food, the simla and clothing. In other words, all his physical needs, his material needs. K'day sheyuchal lamb with the shori. To facilitate his service, in order for him to be able to perform his job, to perform his function, which is to serve in the Mishkan, in the Mikdash, it's necessary that he's supported. That's, he can't do his job without that. Rashi in Ekev says very similar. The Pasuk says, because they were designated for Avodas Mizbeach, they haven't got time to do business, to farm the land. A Kohen is busy doing Avodas Hashem, he hasn't got time for anything else. So therefore, Hashem hu nachalosoi. Rashi says, Moitil pras mezumo on the Beis HaMelech. He gets paid directly from the king, and we are the ones who are the vehicle to provide this. This is a perspective which you may not look at things like that, but Talmud Chochum, not the Kohen and Levian, a Talmud Chochum needs support. And sometimes you might think, Nebuch, he can't manage, so we'll have to support him. Contrary, he's performing the highest function, and in order for him to be able to continue, we have to look after him, that he can carry on doing his avodah. The Rambam says very similar words. I don't want to go into that now, but I want to go on to something else. It's in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, right at the end, he says that the same thing. The Kohenim, the Levim, Shevet Levi, were designated to serve in the Mikdash HaMikdash, and therefore they get direct from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ksav Sofer takes a different take on this. It's very similar. It also going on the idea that they're of the Mishorsi Hashem. But he says different approach. He says the Kohenim, they've been chosen. They are the elite of society. And there's always a danger. Because they're so choshev, they could make a mistake and become proud and start thinking, condescending, I'm the Kohen, I'm special. In order that they shouldn't fall into that trap, Hashem makes it necessary that others should support them. And that way, they humble them a bit. Don't get too proud. Of course, you've got a very, very important tafkid. And you are very distinguished. But don't let it get to your head. Remember, the old Eved of Hashem, don't chas v'shalom get led astray. And he says that's the same reason that, generally speaking, Talmidei Chachamim need to be supported by others for exactly the same reason. Because they are the cream of society. And they could come to gaiva, and therefore, we have to be careful. Rabbi Yishlein wanted to avoid that. So the Sforim are telling us, Achronim are telling us what how our approach and our attitude should be when we have this course to support Talmud Chochum. It's not that Nebuchadnezzar needs us well, we'll help him out. No, it's a privilege, because he is at the highest level, and we have the opportunity to assist this major tafkid of Klal Yisrael. There's Shmiras HaLoshon, Chofetz Chaim, in Shara HaTorah, I think it's Perek Hey, maybe even a few prokim, he deals with the Maila V'Chazakas HaTorah, supporting people who are learning, and I'm underlying the Maila home, it's a very, very worthwhile thing, knowing. He emphasizes that paying for the learning of one's own children is included in the Chazakas HaTorah. So one's own children, no less than for someone making sure that his children can learn, that paying the schools, paying the yeshivas, whatever it is, that is part of Chazakas HaTorah. The Chofetz is very fascinating. Pages and pages he talks about Chazakas HaTorah. I'd like now to move on to one final thought, which is towards the end of the Sedra. The Sedra talks about Parsha there, talks about the beginning of Kapitel Chof, talks about when Klal Yisrael go to war. So the Pesukim tell us that they shouldn't be afraid, and then the Shoitrim, Kohen talks to them and said, this group of people should go home, this group of people should go home. And then finally the Pasuk says, Pasuk Ches, Kapitel Chof, Pasuk Ches, the Pasuk says, Mi o ish hayore v'rach alepo, someone who's afraid, v'yelech v'yosho v'vesa, should go home. Why? V'lo yimas es levav echov kilvobo. He should literally, yimas means he shouldn't melt. He shouldn't discourage the others, because if he is afraid, then others will become influenced and become afraid as well. They won't have the guts to fight. The Ramban brings there from Halachas Baal Halachas Gedolos, is this is a mitzvah lo yisasi. He must not remain. Lo yimas, he's not allowed to remain in a situation where he could discourage others, he could weaken their resolve. He must go home. Says Abraham Shulevit. The Torah is telling us not only when it comes to melchoma. In this application, it's melchoma. But in every situation, we have to ensure that we are mechazik our emunah and not chas v'sholom weakening anybody else's emunah. If a person is weak in his own emunah, the very least he should do is don't influence others with his own weakness. Keep it to himself. He should be mechazik himself, obviously, but don't influence others. That's really damaging. And he brings a parsha in Melochim. Sefer Melochim, this Melochim base, Kapitel Vav, talks about the king of Aram. The king of Aram was trying to fight against Klal Yisrael, and he was trying to find a way of conquering them. And he was told, go and camp in this particular place. Go find a particular place, this specific place, go and camp there, and you'll be able to overcome the Eden. Now, what he couldn't have taken into account, he didn't know, that Klal Yisrael had a Novi. Elisha Hanovi was a Novi, and he knew exactly what was going on. So Elisha sent a message to the king, the Yiddish king, and he said to him, don't go there, because there's an ambush there waiting for you. Don't go there. And it's happened more than once. And the Melech Aram was frustrated. What's going on here? Every time I try something, it fails. And he suspected treason. He said, who amongst us is a traitor? Who is telling the Eden what we're up to, our plans? And he called a cabinet meeting, he called his minister, he said, what's going on? Who's the traitor? So one of the avodas said, Adoni HaMelech, you're making a mistake. It's not no traitor. They have supernatural powers. They have a Navi. Elisha, this great man, he's telling them everything. There's no way we can bypass him. So the Melech Aram said, is that the case? Well, we have to sort this fellow out. We've got to catch him, capture him. So he said, okay. He sent there, he found out where he was. And he sent there susim v'rechev v'chayil kovi. He sent horses, chariots, major army, just to capture this one Elisha. Yeah, Elisha was a Novi. This is the koyach of Klal Yisrael. So we better sort them out. They came at night and they surrounded the city where Elisha was. The Meshores, the boy, the Bachel who was helping Elisha, got up in the morning. He went up. There's an army surrounding the city. And the chariots, tanks, whatever, the equivalent, terrifying. And he came back to Elisha, He says, what should we do? We're trapped. We've got this whole army up against us. So Elisha said to him, Al Tiro, don't be afraid. Ki rabbi masharitonu me asharison. We have many more. Many more than you think. You're impressed by this, you're afraid of this. We have a much larger army. And Elisha davened to Hashem and asked Hashem to open the eyes of the Nar. And suddenly he saw the whole mountain full of Rechev, Susim Verechev Esh. We say those words in Eshanus, in Eshan Rabba. This is referring to this. But Elisha revealed to the Nar that there was a huge army of fire, much greater, outnumbering the Machne Arom by far. And then the Pasuk continues. Elisha davened and he said to Hashem, please, hach no es agoy hazeh basanveirim. Make them all blind. So they all became blind. All of this Melech Aram's army, they all became blind. And then Elisha told them, you're going, they obviously didn't know it was Elisha, he told them, you're going the wrong way. This, I'll direct you how to travel, and you'll find Elisha there. And he took them to Shomroim, straight into the hands of the Melech Yisroel, and the story continues. They couldn't do anything then. Melech Yisroel wanted to kill them. He said, that's not the way to behave. Treat them with respect and send them home. But Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz asks, what saved Elisha? Was it the Rechev Susei Esh? Not at all. It was the fact that they were all blind and they couldn't do anything. So what's he going on? He's showing them, Rabbi Masher Itonu Me Asher Oisom, we have many more than they have. That's irrelevant. Because that wasn't the Kerech, wasn't the massive army which HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed. That wasn't what overcame the Melech Aram, their army. So why? So what's this all about? Says of Chaim Shmuel Levitz that this Nar was afraid. His lack of bitochen was a danger. If they didn't have bitochen, then they would not be able to be saved. So the first thing he had to do was establish his bitochen. And the Radak says, "Kdei lechazek liboy sheloy yifchad," had to strengthen his heart. He shouldn't be afraid. Once the Nar had been calmed down, he saw there's nothing to be afraid of, then he could have bitochen. Then the nes could happen, but it wasn't the same nes, had no shaykhs to each other. The nes was the blindness. But the importance of being mechazik, one's bitochen. And the Chaim points out, who was in danger here? The Nar? Not the Nar, it was Elisha. But despite that, the Nar's weakness in bitochen would have had a detrimental effect on Elisha too. It would have endangered him. And that's why Elisha felt it was so important for the person to mechazik the bitochen of the Nar. And once there's bitochen, once the Nar has bitochen, he'll have bitochen and they'll be zoicha to Yeshuas. And I just want to quickly summarize the four points that we discussed. The first one was that we should always remember Yomin or Smoil, depends which angle we're looking at, the importance of following the Chachamim, because that's the Messiah of Klal Yisrael, depends on us always following the Chachamim, not everyone working out his own Mahalach. That was the first point. The second, we spoke about a Melech, the difference between a Melech which is Lonu, which is noble, we're not there to tell our leaders what to do. It's a very similar point actually to the previous one. It should be our Leinu, we have to listen to them, they're guiding us and instructing us. Then we said about the Chashivus, of supporting Talmidei Chachamim, what a zechus it is. They are performing the highest service by doing the Avodas Hashem, and we have the privilege to be able to help them. And finally, the importance of being mechazik our own bitochen for ourselves and for others. I'd like to thank you all for listening, those who are here, those who are on the cameras and the phone. I believe my father's language is listening in London. Thank you all for being started. My Shabbos and Chodesh.
I'm in charge, not you. Don't tell me. He gave it. You know what? his father-in-law. This is going back 40 years ago. They don't have to live here in Beanstalk, right? It's in Lepra. Yeah, he'll visit it. I'll tell her the last scripture the husband gave in Fraxel, the boy of 11, which is terrific.
I don't know.
Yeah, I remember it was there.